Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today we are going to continue in our studies now, the seven methods of Bible study. And we've gone down to the seventh method, the dispensational studies of the Bible. And in this we see the order of the Lord. Those of you that have been following along in the broadcast have realized that on our last broadcast, we considered the dispensation of human government, how it was established by Noah, and how it is still in effect today, and will be in effect until the tribulation period before the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a dispensation, of course, is a religious economy. It is transliterated, I think, from the Greek word oikon omia. And I think it's translated from that translation in the Greek meant the administration of a household. And this is among God's family. And here Noah was. He was the beginning of the human race. All the antediluvian people had been slain because of the rebellion and their sin. And now he has been given a responsibility. The dispensation carries with it a responsibility. I like the word stewardship. It's our stewardship. It's something that God has given us to do for our own good. It's a religious economy. All right. Now let's go on and talk about the subject for the day. Today, with the help of the Lord, we wish to consider the economy of promise. Now, mankind failed under human government, but the time that Abraham, as he is originally called, came upon the scene, human government had been in essence for centuries. But now, how is it done? They had turned to idolatry. God says, I'm going to start something new. I'm going to start something with a man, a very wonderful man. And he appears to Abraham in the 12th chapter of Genesis. If you have your Bibles near at hand, you may wish to read with us. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He came with some wonderful promises to Abraham. This is the reign of promise. Should have been the reign of promise. Unfortunately, it failed. But this was the promise of God to a very wonderful man. Now, he appeared to Abraham, and Abraham knew that he was talking with God. And God says, Get you out from this country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. Now, Abraham was the beginning of a spiritual race. Oh, how wonderful this man was. Now, farther on in the chapter, in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, you recall that this great man of faith that got him out of Syria, he lived in Syria, and he says the Syrian, and the Jewish people were to say, Syrian was my father ready to perish, idolater, but God called Abraham out of that land. And later, we see how the faith of Abraham operated for him. He is given more place in that wonderful chapter of faith in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Abraham is given more place in that chapter than any other person. He saw God, and that vision was so great that he believed God as no one else ever believed him. Now God told him a very, very grievous thing to do in the 22nd chapter of Genesis. Most of you know the story. He told Abraham, take that son, your only son Isaac, your only Isaac, I think is the tender way of putting it. Take your only Isaac and take him into the land of Moriah and offer him there on one of the mountains that I'll show you. How do you suppose? Offer him up as a burnt offering, if you please. How do you suppose Abraham felt? Oh, what am I going to do? But he obeyed. God said it. Now Abraham had faith, and we're told right there in the 11th chapter of Hebrew, he had the faith that if God took the life of Isaac, if he had to take the life of Isaac, he would raise him from the dead. And that had never been done before. That is faith. Now we read that he did take him. He did put him on the altar, the wood on the altar. He took the knife in his hand, and he was just about to plunge it in the heaving bosom of his son when God said, "Abraham, Abraham," and he says, "Spare your son." And he looked around, and he saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns, and they offered him up instead of Isaac. Now God was so pleased that Abraham would go all the way to offer up his son that he gave him a special blessing. And we read there in the 15th verse of the 22nd chapter of Genesis, "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, Behold, by myself rather, have I sworn, saying, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying will I multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Now these are all promises. Now in the third chapter of Galatians, the Apostle Paul, writing by inspiration of the Spirit, tells us who that seed was. Listen to it, please. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Through the faith of Abraham, the same kind of faith he had, in the same kind of God, incidentally. Paul continues, "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth, or addeth thereto." Listen to him, please. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto angels, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Here is the seed that God promised to Abraham, and Abraham saw it. He saw down through the centuries what he told Isaac when he was offering him up. "My son, God will provide himself a sacrifice." And he looked down through the ages, and he saw Christ, and he was enabled to do this because he thought God would raise Isaac from the dead, and that his seed would continue to Christ's day. Now, the Lord Jesus, in his earthly ministry, he said, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day," and saw it. He did see it. He saw that Christ was coming. This is the one through whom all the promises of God are going to become the Amen. They're going to be brought to pass. Now, let's think of what the promise of Abraham was. Now, they went on under that promise. They went on through that promise. The faith of Abraham sustained them, his descendants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Jacob's 12 sons and their descendants lived 500 years in the land of Egypt. And that faith of the promises of God sustained them. God had a ministry for that nation. That nation was to produce the Christ, the Messiah that died for you and for me. And that faith sustained them until the very time that Moses led them out of the children of Israel. And do you know what the children of Israel, or what the children of Israel did? They forsook the faith of Abraham. God gave them the law to keep, and they said, "All that the Lord has said, we will do." They ended the promises of God as far as that blessing the nation was concerned. Now, let me say very carefully, they did not end the promises of God. God meant all that he said. He was going to bless all the nations of the earth through Christ. And they did not annul that promise. But they took up with law, something that they could do, something that would demonstrate their faith. We're going to take this up on the next broadcast, the function of the law and how Israel was related to God through the law. There's nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments. There's nothing wrong with the laws of God. But they forsook that pathway of faith, and they left it voluntarily, and they said, if you please, all that God says we'll do. What self-confidence. Was that depending on faith in God for their blessing? No, they were depending upon their obedience of the law for their blessing. And that blessing failed them. But I want you to, the blessing, of course, the promise failed them, because they took up with the promise of the law. And so a new dispensation begins with the law. We'll take it up on our next broadcast. Now, I want to speak of that wonderful seed of Abraham, Christ himself. John wrote of him in his gospel, and he wrote of him in the book of Revelation. In the 14th chapter of John's gospel, for instance, John is quoting our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as a matter of fact, our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the avenue to God. Now later, John writes in his epistle, and he writes these wonderful words in the 5th chapter of his epistle. And that, the words there could not be made plainer. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Isn't that plain enough? The Lord said, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the seed of Abraham. Through the blessings come to you and me. And in that sense, we're the children of Abraham by faith. We receive his blessings. And here we are. We are now bound to accept the Lord Jesus. And it's not religion. It's not good works. It's not high ideals. It's not joining the right church. It's not baptism. It's simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Let me repeat that, please. 1 John 5:12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Words could not be plainer. I'd like to ask the listener a question. In your memory, can you ever think of a time when you got into the presence of the Lord Jesus and thanked him for dying for you upon that cross? Why not do that? It will bring pleasure to his heart, and you eternal life. Father, we want to thank you for your dear Son, our Savior. In his name, amen.